thank you for the opportunity just to be with God's people. This is a very special church. Appreciate the people here that are invested in us, not only through prayers, but even through personal contact. I call Pastor DeLeon because he's very local. He's invested into Camden Servants Baptist Church, and I also ask the Lord to give him wisdom because sometimes I need to bounce things off of him and just ask the Lord for help and wisdom and experience that I don't have. And so I thank you. I just thank the Lord for people that he puts in our lives to encourage us. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And you know what? As a body of Christ, is a beautiful thing. The church, Christ loved the church, the bride of Christ is very beautiful in his sight. And not only the local church is beautiful, but the church in general as true believers. And as the older as I get, the more beautiful it becomes. And it's amazing. You can be going in another state, stop at a gas station, and start talking to someone and just realize that there's something different about that person. And that they have a love for the Lord. When we were coming back from Baptist Church Planters, we were in Ohio. We had to stop for the wedding. And before we took off, I stopped at this gas station. And there was a gentleman from, what, Nicaragua? Oh, Nigeria. One of those far-off places. And within a few minutes, I talked to everybody. I mean, there's not too many strangers. Sometimes I make people mad and I say, I'm sorry, but... I just talked to everybody, and within a few moments, these people looked at me and said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, by God's grace, I was able to share a testimony. My wife's like, we got to get back to New York, hurry up. And we had a little prayer service at the gas station and just praised the Lord and just lifted him high. And these people said, we are born again. We have given our lives to the Lord. We have come from... Was it Nigeria? And they were getting involved in a local church, and we just had a good time of fellowship. And so it's amazing how the Lord does that, how he knits people's hearts, and the family of God is very beautiful. And we are to protect it and to encourage it and to bless one another. It says to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. There is a natural love. If you have a love for God, you will naturally have a love for God's people. And so it's something that's very beautiful. And so I just appreciate that. Just to give you a quick, boy, I saw the missionaries there in the, I have a hard time saying his name, Colossus. Koyo, yeah, okay. We'll take that as that, okay. But I love those people. There is something about that, their family that is, I just like to be around them. And they have a love for the Lord. And I saw him and I praise the Lord for that brother. Just has a love and a giftedness to touch people. So I can go in the middle of a pack of dogs and I will run and they will bite me. But that man, I think he can go in the midst of some wolves and he can pet them down, you know. But, you know, the Lord makes us all different. And so we praise the Lord for God's goodness. Just to give you a report of what's going on in Camden, the Lord has given us some great opportunities. You know, there's been some struggles. There's been some wars, and man, I'm sure glad I'm with the Lord. If he be for us, who can be against us? And yet, we see the Word of God doing a mighty work in people's hearts. We see some new people coming, hunger for the Word. I want to see people hungry for the Word. And it's easy to preach to God's people when they have a love for God's Word. You know, when there's a coldness against God's word and his spirit. You know, the Lord's got to break that heart of stone. And we are praying the Lord will just do a mighty work. We see him working. We're praying for fruit. We're plowing right now. Some neat opportunities the Lord has given to me. As you know, I speak to everybody. We have a big Amish community up in that area. I have made friends with the Amish. Most of the Amish are from Holmes County. Wayne County, and some of the Gingrich and numerous other people. Gingrich knew her dad. He did construction and knew her dad before he came up here and did work with him. And so we made that contact. We made contacts down in more of Holmes County, which is just south of there, about 40 minutes. I knew some relatives of these guys, and they knew I was from there. Well, I drove down there and got a bunch of stuff when I came down to visit, and I said, I'll never do that again. You guys are trying to kill me. But I've been able to give the gospel in some real strong form. Most Amish will not talk to you about God or the things of God or religion. And there's two brothers, Jacob and Sam, Schwarzentrooper. Please pray for them. The Lord has been just working in their hearts. The reason I meet this guy is we were in his shop, and there was some Japanese lady came in there, or an Asian lady, and she was ripping that guy apart. And so I started, of course, talking to her. And guess what I started doing? I started giving her Christ. And I said, you need to know Jesus. And after I got done going through the plan of salvation and going challenging her on her religion and what she believed, Sam Schwarzentrooper said, after she left, he's like, I have never in all my life seen someone tell people about Jesus. And he says, I need that. I want that. And so through that, there has been an open door. We've talked about a lot of things. And then another thing is, and I brought some articles. The Lord has also opened another door. I told you I was in the high school, and there last year it was brutal. I think I even told Pastor, I was just really struggling on making it. I had some people in the school that wanted to destroy me. They were going around the kids trying to get me to slip up and say something. One day we had four groups of kids come and try to get me to say something about homosexuals. And so I responded, the Lord was gracious to me, and I said, you don't want my opinion, and I really don't want to hear your opinion, but are you interested in hearing what God's word says? Yeah. So then I started in Genesis, and I started proceeding through the Bible about what God's word says about it. No, marriage is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I went down to there, and we got into the different books of the Bible, and I started flipping through there, and I said, you want to hear more? And most times, like, oh, no, okay, we've had enough. We understand what the Bible says about that. But and then we had a lady who was trying to get me kicked out of the school, and she was really going after me, and we had numerous kids, and told me they're going to beat me up, and I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff. And then this year, and at near the end of the year, I said, hey, this woman, well, she told some people that I was a child molester, and she was telling all the kids about this, and I couldn't speak to the kids, and I was a child molester, and I went to the principals, and I said, listen, this has got to stop. I put up with all this other stuff. You know this is going on. I said, if you don't, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to come after the school. You cannot destroy me like this. And they ended up dismissing her. They warned her numerous times. I was trying to be kind to her. She even called herself a Christian, and she went to Hillsboro Baptist Church up there, and she was bent on removing me and destroying me. And it was, let's just say, it was intense for me. I wanted to quit, and I thought, this is unbelievable. This year, there's been a bigger open door. The principals have backed me up more. And been able to, I was witnessing last year, but just seems that the kids didn't want to hear anything I had to say last year. And this year, I'm seeing a total growth just in kids listening. The other day, I think I spoke to probably 30 kids about Christ and went through the plan of salvation in different groups. So we had groups, some of the kids, probably more than 20 kids, and I just said 35 to be modest. But we had this one group, there must have been 40 kids. And I looked around and they were all intent. You know, I turned around and they're like, oh, we're not listening. You know, and so I was able to go through the Word of God and challenge them in the Scriptures. And so, please pray for me. And I told the principals, and they've said this and that. And I said, listen, if this doesn't work out, you don't need to fire me. All you need to say is this is not working out, and I walk right out. I've done this not because I had the time, but because the Lord seemed to open the door, and it seems like an effectual door. And then I get to meet all these parents and introduce myself. And so there is, the Word of God's going out. Another opportunity, the newspaper, Queen Central News. We built this house. It was an 1805 house. I've built numerous houses, and I got into this mess. And let me tell you, it was a mess. And I've built new houses, and I enjoyed building new houses, and I got into this, and I've never done anything like this in my life. And I thought, oh, Lord, what have I done? And the newspaper was writing articles about the house. Everybody started coming up to me and saying, "You're the crazy guy that did that. We are so glad you've been doing this." And it's like the whole community somewhat rallied, and everybody seemed to know who I was, and they were all excited. The guy who owned it before, his name was Doc Boardman, and he was a pretty high up in the community. And so through that contact, there has been many, many, many contacts made just through fixing that old house up. And, you know, beyond me, I was like, my wife is determined we should burn it down. And I said, "You don't understand. We can't build a modular set on this foundation. It's all stacked stone this wide. It's not going to happen." So if we burn it down, and we couldn't get them to burn it down, they wouldn't burn it down. So anyhow, we're in it, and we enjoy it. It's been a great blessing, and we're using it for the Lord. Because of that, a contact was made with that guy. When he was at our house one time, he had a heart attack. Now, I didn't know he was having a heart attack. All of a sudden, he got quiet and walked out real slowly. Well, I went and visited him and called on him and prayed him, and he had had a heart attack. And then he started asking me, "Hey, would you write in the Queen Central News?" I was like one more thing. I can't do it. And the Lord opened it, and I thought, he's asked me three times. I better. So I've been writing newspaper articles, and it's called Point and View. I write it every week, and I take different things. For quite a while, I was on faith. What is faith? What is faith not? I've been having opportunities to, well, right now it's on trust. Do we trust our government? Can we trust God in marriage? Or can we trust God in the government? And I just went going through trust. What is trust? You know, and using different texts of scripture. And so the Lord's been opening up opportunities. We're having people come and replying, saying, we had a neighbor come and saying, "Yeah, this article is, I can't believe what's being said here, and this is really good." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, this article, Point and View." And I was like, "Hey, I write that article." But just context like that, the Amish had been eating this thing up. I gave Sam, he doesn't want to take any books, but I got him Pilgrim's Progress. And I know if I can get the Amish excited about something, they'll pass it to everybody. And they've been reading these articles. And I went and talked to him this past week, and Sam says, "We love your articles. I'm so glad. I am learning so much. That's the first thing I do when I open that paper. I'm going to these articles." And I know if he's excited about it, then that whole Amish community is reading these articles. And it goes a lot against fake religion. And so the gospel's going on. So I brought a bunch of the newspaper clippings, and then I have some other articles that I brought up. There wasn't a table out there, but I can spread them out. You can grab some of these articles and just take a look at what I'm writing. So these are the things that are happening. So please pray for us. You know, we're preparing the soil. I'm praying for a harvest. The Lord's got to give that harvest. Sometimes as a pastor and as a church planner, as a contractor, I build a home. I can see the foundation going up, the floors, the walls. And I can say, I can be rewarded because of the action I'm seeing. And listen, when you frame a house, it happens quick. A couple of weeks, man, it's up, and your homeowners are like, "Woohoo, it looks good." And I said, "Hold on, it's going to take a little longer to get everything else done. I know this looks good." But as a pastor, sometimes you're working and working, and you're giving and giving and giving, and we don't see results. And even some of the people we invest in the most, all of a sudden, Satan gets a hold of them and destroys them. And I have to say, "Lord, so neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Sometimes we can't see what's going on behind the scenes. And we have to say, "Lord, I trust in you. Help me to be faithful and to love you with all my heart." And sometimes things are going on in other people's lives. You may say, "Hey, I'm witnessing this person. No response, no response." You can't see what's going on. We're not God. We're not looking down on the whole view of things. And we have to say, "Lord, help us to be faithful. You at your jobs, me at what the Lord has given to me. Am I praying for an increase? Oh, yes. I see the plans going out. Things are happening. The Lord keeps opening up more and more doors, encouraging God's people to start being faithful in that. But the Lord will give the increase." So please pray with me on that. I know I spent a little too much time on that, but I want to kind of give you an idea. And what we'll do is we will open up just an opportunity if you'd like to ask some questions, I want to do a quick challenge from Scripture. Because when I come to church, I really like to be fed God's Word. And I want God's Word to change me. So let's have a word of prayer right now. Lord, great is your faithfulness. I thank you for your people, for this church, this ministry, dear Lord, that you be the foundation. According to your word, you are the foundation. And that we would build upon it gold, silver, precious stones. Dear Lord, we have all of our ideas, which is wood, hay, stubble. But help us to be obedient to your word, according to your word. For your word and your power, dear Lord, things are built in the gold, silver, precious stones. Lord, we need your help to build your church, and that it would endure, it would reproduce, and that people would have a love for one another and a willingness to serve one another. I thank you for this ministry. Please protect it against satanic attack. I ask you to protect your people, protect the people up at Servants Baptist. Please give Pastor Brown, as he's going through Ephesians 2 tonight, great liberty and boldness, and that you would work. Lord, I thank you for your people. Help us to humbly walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like you, I know we did this, and I know everybody's all set in. If you would please stand with me, I'm going to read the text of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I'm reading in verse 6 through 14. And this completes a thought, but it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That is an incredible thought there. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you have trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him or whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee in our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You may be seated. I entitled this, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. This goes with just a thankfulness of what God has done in our lives and hearts. I have this message. I could probably preach for another hour, and I won't do that to you. I don't want this young man over here to go to sleep. So he knows who I'm talking about. Oh, there he is. We got twins back there. All right. I don't know. I can't see who's who back there. But just some of the things, this meaning of redemption. Redemption means ransom in full. It's a deliverance. This redemption was by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I like to review these things because it's important for us to review over and over, but there's a difference between grace and mercy. Now, I know we have some police officers in here, but if you were ever caught speeding and the police officer comes up to you, what do you plead for? Mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Hopefully, you're not speeders here. But if you ever have to plead for don't hammer me as hard as I deserve, You plead for mercy. And grace is different than that. Grace is God giving to us what we could not deserve. There is nothing, anything we could to deserve His grace. It is like an overabundance of kindness, undeservedly an abundance of kindness. And this is grace. Mercy is not giving me what I deserve. And then grace goes far above mercy. It gives unto us what? Eternal life. In nothing that we did, no decision we made, not anything good in our own person, do we deserve anything that God gives. That's why it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is abundance. That's why we say it's amazing grace. Now, when we understand grace correctly, it solves massive theological issues. People fight about theological issues left and right. And when we have a right understanding of grace in the way the Word of God describes it, it solves tons of theological issues. All of a sudden, we say, oh Lord, we are unworthy. And it humbles our hearts. And then we respond out of a grateful praise and glory and goodness. We see people differently. It's not about what we deserve and what we want. It belongs to what God wants. He must increase and we must decrease. And in that, it's not my will, but thine be done, as Christ said. And we see this lifestyle of praise and honor and submission to whatever His will is. It's not about us anymore. You know what? Some of those theological disputations, they're all solved when we have a right view of grace. And it's God's grace. And it's displayed in our lives and hearts. And it's solved. The meaning of redemption, the marks of redemption. And the mark of redemption, some of the points I put under the marks of redemption is in verse 6 of chapter 1. To the praise of the glory of His grace. This Redeemer, it's His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. We see to the praise of the glory of His grace. He is our Redeemer. It was given by His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, if you take this text and you go over it, you'll see His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And we could go on and on, which He made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. Okay, so it's keeping a right context of who's doing the work here and who's doing the saving and the redeeming. It's all by Him. Christ is all and in all. We are privileged to serve a risen Savior. He doesn't need us. We are privileged to be a part of His will. And it is a joy to love and to serve Him, to bring Him honor and praise. When it's all about Him. Because when the church becomes about us and our needs, what happens? All of a sudden, pragmatism comes in. In the whole work of Christ, all of a sudden, it's this group wants this and this group wants this. And you see divisions happen in churches all the time, even in good churches. I've heard of churches splitting over the color of carpet. It's foolishness. It's all about Him. I mean, when it's all about Him, there is a peace and joy to serve our great God. Pragmatism is thrown right out, and we just say, this is what the Bible says, and we're going to obey His word. It simplifies things. So we see the Redeemer and also the redeemed. We are receivers of His grace. And I have a text on, and this is in 6b. Sorry, keep going to chapter 2 here. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now this in the Beloved. Who's some Beloved? Was Christ a Beloved of the Father? You betcha. Are the angels beloved? They are. But guess what else is beloved? We are the redeemed. Now, in before that, it talks about his elective purposes in verse 4 and 5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Are we to be holy and without blame before him in love? Let me tell you what God commands, he enables. He calls us to holiness, not licentiousness. And I know that's a big word, kids. That means, it says, another text of scripture says, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That lust of the flesh is just doing what you want to do according to your own will. So this licentiousness is just given into our desires. And that deals with commandment number 10, covetousness. Gimme, 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 gimme. Do we have a world that's promoting it? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Whatever it takes, I want it, and I want it now. If you want it, you take it. That's foolishness before the Lord. It's one of service. It's one for his glory. The redemptive price, redemption price through his blood. The redemptive results, just dealing with that, of a changed life. Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This is a redemptive result. And there's also redemptive reasoning in verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. What's the mystery of his will? Does that have to do with the body of Christ? The bride of Christ? Remember, he talks about marriage, and he says, husbands ought to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Man, this is a great mystery. This is amazing. What does he want the church, the bride of Christ, to look like? A faithful, pure bride. One that honors him and lifts him up. Is this a great mystery? Did they understand all that was going to happen? Boy, his disciples didn't, did he? We've been going through Matthew this morning. Did other people realize what was going to happen? Even the religious leaders. They wanted a king of their own making. Show us a sign according to our will. Jesus says, hey, you're not in control. I am in control and I am sovereign according to the mystery of his will. We deal with the church there. God's possession given. Look at verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, I've said a lot there. Let me think. In him, again, he's our focus, we have obtained an inheritance. Inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, being predestined according to the purpose of him. Now, I know some people cringe about election and predestination, but boy, the Word of God is filled right through it. When you understand that, and I try to do my best to explain God's greatness and goodness, but it's hard to understand the mind of the Lord. But when you understand, even children, you didn't choose your own parents. The Lord had you sovereignly put in that special family. Does the Bible say honor your father and mother? Is that according to God's will? Did God control all that? Has God done these things? But this predestination, it says, before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew you and chose you. This is something that's unfathomable, something that's hard to comprehend, but his affection was set upon you before time began. And it is an incredible affection, something that we don't deserve, and we humble ourselves and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And guess who receives all the honor and all the glory? He does. This is something that's very hard for preachers to explain correctly. But we just have to say what the Word of God says. It says it. Do we submit to it? then it brings him honor and glory. I won't beat upon that. It talks about God's possession given. It was a possession of himself. Beloved in him, in himself. Constantly in him, in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. The pleasure of himself, or possession of himself. Predestination by powers, that power of authority. He had all power and authority as a true king. His predestination power of who Christ was and the mystery of his will, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, that dealt with the church and with Christ came to die for the sins of his chosen, his elect, and the purpose of God's will. Just our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the honor and the glory forever. What's that? It begins with, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are we supposed to have the heart of Christ? It's not my will, but thine be done. Man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. When I was in Kenya, had the opportunity to go in Kenya, and I introduced myself over Kenya. I said, my name is Nathan. And they said, nothing. And I said, no, it's Nathan. And they said, nothing. They could not say that. Now, all the guys in the group thought that was pretty funny. So for a whole couple weeks, they would refer to me as nothing. And I thought, isn't that what I needed to hear? He must increase and I must decrease. We are his possession according to his good works, in his purposes, in his plan, in him. And that brings great security. And you know what? Really, when we submit to the Lord, we're nothing, but we are the beloved. So in our ideas of ourself, we're nothing, we're small. But when you take God's idea of who we are the beloved. We are joint heirs in Christ, and we are precious. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. How do we respond to that? It's all of him. It's all of glory. It's all of his greatness. And you know what? Does he give us strength to keep serving him faithfully? It's not about me. It's about him. Lord, I don't feel like doing this. It's okay. You're doing it to honor me. And when we're obedient to do his will, saying, Lord, use me however you want, all of a sudden he gives us that joy. Boy, thank you, Lord, for using me. I didn't deserve it. But thank you for using me, for changing me, for ordaining me. Help me to live for you in this joyous manner. Lord, whatever you'd like to do with me, I desire to be yielded to you. He must increase and we must decrease. Are you precious? Are you a chosen in him? Have you a right perspective? This promised pledge of the Holy Spirit, this being sealed, is so, it says in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now listen, it's after. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the... Now I'm all about giving people a testimony of how you were saved. The Apostle Paul did this over and over again, but don't forget them to give them his word. The Bible says his word is sharper than any... It's what does the work. It's not about your great influence and you're such a great talker and you're such a good person and people will want to know you and get to know. No, we're not attaching people to us. Who are we attaching people? To the Word, to His Holy Spirit. Look what it says here. In him you also trusted after you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I want to tell you, if you do not have the Holy Spirit living and indwelling in your life, and there's fruits of the Holy Spirit for a person who's born again, who's a new creation, if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, you have none of Christ. You have none of Him. This sealing of the Holy Spirit is something that was given. And it's given to all Christians. And it is a blessed thing. Now, the Lord has changed you. He's conformed you to His image and your likeness. You have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you. He is called the Comforter. He is the one that enables you. Listen, without Him, we can do nothing. And if we are doing it without Him, well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. It talks about gold. We build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And just in remembrance of that, and I'm going to paraphrase this, it says, everything will be tried by fire, for the day will declare it. The wood, hay, stubble, guess what'll happen to that? It'll be burnt up. But they themselves will be saved yet as through fire. But if you've been building according to the Word of God, according to His will and His way, guess what you've been building upon? The foundation of Christ, the gold, silver, precious stones. Right? Can we do some things in our own strength? Guess what it is? Wood, hay, stubble. It means zero. So we can put up great churches and we can have tons of people come in. And we can, and today there's churches out there drawing crowds all certain ways. I mean, all sorts of different types of ways. Some people use music, you know, get everybody excited, raise their hands, jump up and down, turn the lights down, put the strobe light on. I've seen it. I've been to a church. I've witnessed it. And they'll do all sorts of things to draw a crowd. But if it's not through the Word of God, and they're doing all these different ways, it's going to be wood, hay, stubble. And it's like that parable of the sand, the wise man, the foolish man. What happened? The foolish man set his house upon the sand, wasn't upon the rock, Christ, and the rains came down, the floods came up, and what happened to that? And the house on the sand went, that's for you kids. Good. So this is very important. Well, and then just to end this up, it's in verse 14, who is in guarantee of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Are you praising Him? Are you rejoicing Him? Why do we do what we do? It's for His honor and glory. And I'm sorry I went over. I get excited. I have a hard time saying anything real short. I'm still working on that. My wife tries to, she's like, listen, I don't need to hear all this. Just tell me yes or no. Or, and I, okay, honey. So I'll try to get it straight. So anyhow, we have a love for the Lord. We're the shared family. We desire to please Him and honor Him. It's the Word of God that changes lives. I appreciate your prayers and your investment. I believe the Lord's doing something mighty. And I'm praying for rain. Now, we've had tons of rain this spring. But I'm talking about the rain from heaven that yields souls and for true fruit and for enduring fruit. When a person's saved and redeemed, now I've been trying to disciple people in that. And, you know, if there's not a true repentant, true faith in a person's heart, people don't want to be discipled. When the Lord started working in my heart and changing me, and when I got saved, I kept pounding on that pastor's door. He was telling me, go away. Listen, and I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough of God's word. I couldn't get enough of God's people. And I wanted to be there whenever. And I still have that desire. I love going to church. I love being with God's people. It's exciting for me to come down here because of the fellowship and the love and the growth and the iron sharpens the iron. If you don't have a heart to be changed by God's word, you don't want that. Or you just have no desire. And either you're real sick or you're not born again. And so there's that difference. Let me open up with some questions. Do we have any questions just on the ministry up in Camden? Maybe I can explain. Or we are in our house, amen. I had a brother ask me, is the house done? Well, I don't know about that. We're still working on the trim and this and that, but we are really excited. At Thanksgiving, the kids went around, and I think three of our family members and my wife said, we're so glad to be in the home. We're so glad to be in this house. But praise the Lord for his provisions. Do we have any questions just on just the ministry? Yes, ma'am.
How old is your house?
Well, it's 1805. So, hey, wood, hay, stubble. It would burn nicely. I hope it doesn't burn right now after we put all that labor in. But you know what? We prayed when we got in the house, we prayed over the house. I want this house to be used for God and his glory. Even in the community, this is an old, old house. And so it means something. I don't know why an old house means something, but in this community, everything's being destroyed. Sometimes the Lord takes broken, messed up things, and he chooses to rework them for his glory. And you know what? He used this old house, and he can use people that have hardened against the word of God, and he can change their hearts, and he can make something new, even out of old timbers. But we gutted a lot of that old timber out. It was nothing but kindling. And 1805, that was Thomas Jefferson Air. The beams were, I kept thinking, oh, let's keep this floor, let's keep this floor. And I touched the beam, and I thought, man, it's just like powdering off. It's got to go. I had to keep replacing more and more floors. So praise the Lord, the house is old. We have a new residence, amen, new lumber. Yes, ma'am. We talked about that. We've invited a lot of people over. So we have neighbors stop by, the mail lady, the this or that. Hey, you want to see the house? Yeah. And we've invited people over and did that. I don't know. I mean, it's an idea. Please take your shoes off in the winter. My wife likes her carpet. Yeah. On the article, because the church, I don't know why it has a bad name, but it has gotten a bad name, and maybe it's called Servants Baptist Church, and maybe some of the people haven't been real servants, I don't know, but they call us separatists, and I said, so we've had some people come, you're not a separatist, you're out here serving, you're doing this, you're totally involved in the community. It's how people define it. Now, we're not ecumenical, I'm not holding hands with the Catholic Church or anything like that, so in some sense we are, I'm separatist about the gospel going forth in the correct manner. Okay, but so if I wrote the article, now I've got some articles sitting right next to my wife, you can take a look at those. I put your friend, so it's called Point in View. And then on the bottom of it, I said, your friend, the sower. And I have that in parentheses. Now, the reason I did that is multiple. If they knew that I was a pastor of Servants Baptist Church, they probably wouldn't read that article. But I've got it out, the sower. And because the gossip is so prevalent in this Camden area, I think it's worse than the Amish, it will go around who's writing that article. And so I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I'm just letting that thing run its course. And people are hearing who's writing it. And I'm praying that it'll be used for God's glory. Because it's a secret, all of a sudden it goes around even twice as fast. So we're getting responses on that. That's what I chose to do. Yes, ma'am. I would say, and as a pastor, I think upon this a lot, and I'm trying to evaluate and reevaluate. I would say would be the greatest need anywhere is just submission to the Holy Spirit's will and way. When we come to God's Word, we like to argue our opinions. And when we come to God's Word, what do? Thus saith the Lord, I submit to what God's Word says. That deals with me, the pastor. It's an area up there, I don't know, people know Camden. I think it was voted as one of the highest in New York. It is what the voted the biggest town of rednecks. What is it? So, what? Yeah, I think it's top 10 now. Someone said it was in the country. The top 10 rednecks was one of Camden. And you know what? A lady came up. I was exercising with her and talking to her about the Lord. She says, "We're tough up here." And I said, "No doubt you guys are. You guys are tough." But I said, "Sometimes that just converts into being mean." And she was like, "I can't believe you said that." But you know what? The Lord has me there. Good thing I'm somewhat redneck myself. So the Lord knows what we have need of, and I fit right into that community in some ways. And the Lord's humbling me, and so changing me. He must increase, I must decrease. It's not about Nate or what's fair. It's about, Lord, you have me here not to build houses, not to do this, not to do this. My primary focus is to preach the word and to tell others about him. I've got some situations where I had both my neighbors stealing my property. They're in with the surveyor. It's a big mess. The surveyor says, "I know it's wrong, but it's going to cost you a lot of money. You let it go." Well, I don't want to give my property away. They pulled my spikes. They did this. They did that. These are all side issues. And I'm like, Lord, help me to respond rightly. Help me to love these people. Stinkers. They need the Lord Jesus. And I just have to respond rightly. I had a victory, let's just say that. The other day, it snowed like crazy up there, and I kept looking at my neighbors, and I got a nice snowblower. I bought a Kubota, and he's got his little snowblower out there doing his big, long driveway. I kept looking at it. I didn't realize that my whole family was watching me debate with the Lord, and I said, "I'll go over there and blow his snow out." I think he was absolutely shocked when I went and did it, but that was a victory for me. I'm weak flesh. And, you know, you get threatened by your neighbor, it's kind of hard to want to go over and help them. So I'm frail flesh. I need the Lord to change me. And so that's what I'm asking the Lord to do. Did that answer your question? Just a sensitivity to the Word of God and a submission. There's fruit right there. We have a lot of people that are more faithful. I don't think they're saved in our church. And so every week, guess what I get to do? I give them Jesus, plead with them, come to Christ, come to Christ. I think, hey, every week can be a salvation message here. But, you know, I'm preaching to the scripture, verse by verse. But we're constantly pointing them to Christ. So, any other questions? Maybe I can hand that over to you, Pastor. Or, hey, good. Thank you, brother.
Amy has a question.
Oh, yes.
What exactly is your job in the school, and how did you get
so to what my, here it is. What my job in the school is, I'm a lunch monitor. So the kids get real crazy at lunchtime. I don't know if it's because they get free food or what, but they go in there, they eat, and they're carrying on. And I just have to go and make sure it doesn't get too screaming. If fights break out, I tell them, no biting, no eye gouging, take it outside, I don't want to hear it. But that really actually breaks up the fight because they, "Oh, you can't fight, you're going to hurt each other." I'm like, take care of it. But I'm a lunch monitor, and so my job is to make sure the kids don't get crazy. But because I'm a pastor, and I told them I'm here, I'm a pastor, and I have one purpose, and I talk to them about Christ. So I go around to their tables. If the bad kids, they want me to take them outside, I'll take them outside. But I get together with the kids, and I talk to them about Jesus. And that's my one focus. I just give them Christ. And I use many different means. Kids are struggling, broken homes. Most of the people in Camden are not married. And a lot of the people that come to our church, old people, we have older people, 60s, 70s, they're not married. They say, "It's going to cost too much. If we get married, I'll lose this, I'll lose that." Young people, if we get married, we're going to lose all of our benefits. It's very socialized up there. Maybe it is here, but it seems to be very strong there. I don't know. It just seems a little foreign to me, but it's all dependent upon the government, what they can get back from the government for taxes. And so they're not willing to obey God's word. So we're praying that the Lord would give us some people willing to serve and to love him and that are able to be. And I train any people that comes to the door. We'll tell them about Jesus. Let's disciple them. Let's help them to grow. But even the reproduction of the church, there needs to be some solid groundwork there.
Else before he gets all the way back to his seat.